And now, Stein Online presents Mark Stein's Song of the Week.
Sammy Kahn had a simple test to evaluate any songwriter, one he used on me over the years whenever the names of various composers or lyricists came up over lunch in London or New York or wherever. "Sing me his medley," he'd say, and off you'd go, treading carefully. If you tried to slip in anything other than gold-plated smash hits, Sammy would growl menacingly, "That's not a money song." Sammy had a lot of money songs.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. Those trees that breeze, they're part of the tender trap. When somebody needs you, it's no good unless he needs you all the way. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of town, Chicago is.
Wait a minute. He didn't spend his whole life writing for Sinatra, did he? Well, Sammy Kahn wrote dozens and dozens of Sinatra songs. Frank sang more words by Sammy Kahn than by any other songwriter. But Sammy also put words in the mouths of Bing.
Kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again.
The Andrews Sisters.
By me a bit of shame, please let me explain. By me a bit of shame means you're grand.
Dinah Washington.
Did you say I've got a lot to learn? Well, don't think I'm trying not to learn. Since this is the perfect spot to learn. Ooh, teach me tonight.
Dean Martin.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
And Doris Day.
You sigh, the song begins. You speak, and I hear violins. It's magic.
Oh, and with this one, he put words in the mouths of everybody. Just for the record, that's Jessica Simpson, whose grandparents were courting round about the time Sammy Kahn wrote that song. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. He wrote those words, and he planted them in the language. They're as familiar and recognisable throughout the English-speaking world as any proverb or saying, to the point where we don't even think of them as written by anyone. But they didn't exist until one hot summer's day in Beverly Hills, Sammy Kahn sat down at his typewriter and bashed them out. He was born in New York on June the 18th, 1913. He wasn't just a songwriter, he lived the public persona of a songwriter, the public embodiment of a certain Tin Pan Alley sensibility. In the 70s, MGM put him up on the big screen in one of their That's Entertainment hit movie anthologies alongside Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly. Even with a combined age of 140, Astaire and Kelly could still dance and sing up a storm. But Kahn, he was the same quirky, little, schnookish fella he seems to have been all his life, or at least since he started losing his hair in his 20s. A slight, bald, bespectacled figure, like an accountant. But there he is in all the photos, alongside Frank and Bing and Bob Hope and Cary Grant. When he decided to make an album and needed some fella to write the liner notes, he got Frank Sinatra to do it. That can feed a certain kind of ego, and certainly Sammy wasn't inclined to let his go undernourished. The old gag was that the only way to get Sammy interested in talking about, say, nuclear annihilation, was to ask him, how will nuclear annihilation affect the catalogue of Sammy Kahn? He was never one for false modesty, Indeed, his ego was so extravagantly untrammeled that many of us suspected him of false immodesty. He had a reflexive, almost Tourette's-like tic to say things like this.
Now I have 5 Academy Awards.
Okay, Oscar number 1.
3 coins in the fountain, each one seeking happiness, thrown by 3 hopeful lovers, which one will the fountain bless?
Oscar number 2.
When somebody needs you, it's no good unless he needs you all the way through the good or lean years and for all the in-between years, come what may.
Oscar number 3.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
Oscar number 4.
Call me irresponsible. Call me unreliable. Throw in undependable too.
And Oscar number 5. Well, to be honest, I can't actually find Oscar number 5, and I've no idea what Sammy was referring to when he claimed he had a 5th Oscar. But he did write the only song ever to win an Emmy for the television adaptation of Thornton Wilder's Our Town.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one,
you can't have none,
you can't have one without the other.
The only Emmy-winning song, and that's an achievement you can't disparage. 1 Emmy, 4 Oscars, and a mountain of other awards. He used to write in a bungalow behind his home in Beverly Hills, in a long office. And the entire wall was covered in awards and memorabilia. Gold records, platinum records, awards for this, awards for that, citations from presidents and princes and all kinds of professional bodies. And as you reel before the sheer overpowering weight of success, he'd turn to you, grin, and then say, "Well, wouldn't you?" "Yeah, I think I would." In this special audio edition, we'll hear Sammy sing and talk. And from the Stein archives, the composer Julie Stein recalls the songs he wrote with Sammy for the young Sinatra, and Sammy recalls the songs he wrote with Jimmy Van Heusen for the old Sinatra. Also from the archives, Julie Stein and an original cast member, the great choreographer Donald Sadler, recreate the big hit from Sammy's first Broadway show, and I'll take a whack at one of Sammy's first big movie hits. Sammy Khan lived lyrics. He thought in lyrics. He claimed that the first song he wrote was called "Like Niagara Falls, I'm Falling for You" as a young teenager. But I'd bet he was thinking in rhyme long before that.
I could learn my ABCs, bring home A's instead of C's, and my ma and dad I'd please if I had rhythm in my nursery rhyme. In the corner on a stool, I'd sit 'cause I broke a rule, but I'd show them that I'm no fool if I had rhythm in my nursery rhyme. Tra-la-la-la-la won't get me far, lately I've been thinking, if I had a little bit of rhythm, I could be a Washington or a Lincoln. Simple Simon at the fair met a pieman who was there. About those 2 guys, I don't care. I need rhythm in my nursery rhyme.
I was born on the lowest part of the Lower East Side. I had 4 sisters, and I was the only son. And that's a pretty awesome responsibility. I would be a doctor, a lawyer, or a dentist, and I'd play the violin. Well, I hated the violin, but I made a deal with my mother. And I adored my mother because she was the kind of a lady you could make a deal with. The deal being that I would play the violin until the night of my bar mitzvah. And that would be it. Came the night of my bar mitzvah. I played that solo and another magic thing happened. At 1 o'clock in the morning, my mother said, let's go pay the orchestra. An astonishing thing. Pay the orchestra? These five fellows who are having the best time of anybody at the party? Well, a year later, I was playing with this orchestra at Salter's Hotel in Mount Freedom, New Jersey. It was while playing all these little dances that I wrote my first song, Words and Music, first and last song for which I wrote Words and Music. There was a kind of a dance craze in those days, and I'd like to do that little song for you.
Anytime you're feeling low, want to make your troubles go, you got to shake your head from side to side. It's a simple remedy. All you do is you do like me.
I know you're going to find it hard to believe, but that became kind of a hit. And at this same little orchestra was a gentleman called Saul Kaplan, and he made an arrangement of that song. Would you believe it? Mr. Saul Kaplan and I started to write about 10 or 15 songs a day. We started to write special material. We wrote for comedians, for Catskill Mountaineers, for strippers, for snake swallowers, for you name it, and we wrote for them. Mr. Lou Levy was acting as sort of agent this time. And one day, Mr. Levy came to me and said, Mr. Lunsford needs a number for his band at the Apollo. So?
Rhythm is our business. Rhythm is what we sell. Rhythm is our business. Business show is swell. Now, if you're feeling blue, rhythm's what you need. If you got rhythm, you're sure to succeed. Rhythm is our business. Business show is swell. He's the drummer man in the band.
In the band.
Crawl beats on them drums in the band.
In the band.
Oh, when he does tricks with sticks, the boys in the band all play hot licks. He plays saxophone in the band.
In the band.
Joe plays the saxophone in the band.
In the band.
Oh, when he goes up that scale, see the pop doodle that doodle daddy.
When the Lunsford Band put that song on record, Sammy looked at the label, Rhythm Is Our Business by Kahn and Kaplan, and told Saul Kaplan he had to change his name. Why? Asked Kaplan. Because Kahn and Kaplan is a dress firm, said Sammy. So Saul Kaplan became Saul Chaplin, who later became the big guy in the music department at MGM, winning Oscars for An American in Paris, West Side Story, co-producing High Society, The Sound of Music, Man of La Mancha. But back in the 30s, Kahn and Chaplin were briefly a hit songwriting team. Not quite Rodgers and Hart, but this one got to number one for Andy Kirk and his 12 Clouds of Joy.
I would work for you. I'd slave for you. I'd be a beggar or a knave for you. If that ain't love, it'll have to do. Until the real thing comes along, I'd gladly move the earth for you. To prove my love, dear, and its worth for you. If that ain't love, it'll have to do. Until the real thing comes along, with all the words, dear, at my command, I just can't make you understand. I'll always love you, darling, come what may. My heart is yours, what more can I say? I beg for you, I'd lie for you. I'd draw the stars down from the sky for you. If that ain't love, it'll have to do. Until the real thing comes along.
And this was number one, too, for Red Norvo and his missus, the great Mildred Bailey.
This is my first affair, so please be kind. Handle my heart with care, oh, please be kind. This is all so grand, my dreams are on parade. If you'll just understand, they'll never, never fade. So tell me your love sincere, oh, please be kind. Tell me I needn't fear, oh, please be kind. Cause if you leave me, dear, I know my heart will lose its mind. If you love me, honey, please be kind.
Sammy couldn't resist doing parodies of his own songs. and he liked to amend that one to, "This is my first affair, so what goes where?" I suppose it is a slightly old-fashioned song, but a quarter century later, Sinatra liked it enough to turn it into a hard swinger with the Basie Band and a killer Neil Hefti arrangement.
This is my first affair, so please be kind. Handle my heart with care, oh, please be kind. Tell me your love sincere, yes, please be kind. Tell me I needn't fear, please be kind. Cause if you leave me, dear, I know my heart will lose its mind. If you love me, baby,
my heart will lose its mind. Sammy was always tickled by that lyric. As for Andy Kirk and his 12 Clouds of Joy, after Until the Real Thing Comes Along came along in 1936, it never really went away. And in 1984, Sinatra and Quincy Jones recorded the song with a second chorus, especially written for him by Sammy. Dig the topical references to the then-hit TV series, The A-Team.
Walk on burning coals for you. I would drive the Chrysler, leave the Rolls for you. If that ain't love, it'll have to do. Until the real thing comes along. I would try to hit high C for you. I'd even punch out Mr. T for you. If that ain't love, it'll have to do. Until the real thing comes along. There's not a thing that you can ask of me. Go on, demand any task of me. You want the moon for a lavalier. All you got to do is nibble on my ear. I would rob, steal, beg, borrow, and lie for you. Lay my little body down and die for you. if that ain't love. If that isn't love, if that ain't love, it'll have to do till the real thing comes along.
But eventually the hits no longer came along, and Kahn and Chaplin went their separate ways, and Sammy needed a new composing partner. There's nothing sadder than a lyric writer with no tunes, particularly when you're as full of energy as Sammy Kahn and reduced to padding the streets of Hollywood with nothing to do. One day in 1941, he got a call out of the blue from Cy Feuer of Republic Pictures asking if he'd like to do a movie with a fella called Julie Stein. "Right now I'd do a picture with Hitler," said Sammy. So he went over to the Republic lot, was introduced to Julie, and as lyricists do, he asked him what he'd got. Stein sat down at the piano and played a melody. And at the end of it, Sammy said, "I've heard that song before." There's nothing composers are more sensitive about than accusations of plagiarism, so Julie Stein snapped back, "What are you, a tune detective?" Sammy explained that he meant it as a title, not a copyright suit, and expanded on the theme. "It seems to me I've heard that song before.
It's from an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody."
A song about a song? Stein told friends, "It's the worst lyric I've ever heard." The movie, Youth on Parade, sank without trace. 2 years later, the song was number one.
"It seems to me I've heard that song before. It's from an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody. It's funny how it seems recalls a favorite dream, the dream that brought you so close to me. I know each word because I've heard that song before. The lyric said forevermore, forevermore the memory. Please have them play it again, and I'll remember just when I've heard that lovely song before."
That's Helen Forrest with the Harry James Band. "Sammy loved that big band sound," Julie Stein said to me once, "and that's all he wanted to write. But sometimes it all comes together, and that record is one of a dozen or so that conjures an entire era. It doesn't work badly for other eras, too, as you'll know if you've seen the use Woody Allen made of it 40 years later in Hannah and Her Sisters." Now, if you've heard our Song of the Week audio specials before, and you listen carefully to the intro and outro music, you'll know that, in fact, we use I've Heard That Song Before. You have to listen a bit carefully because it's under the announcer's voice, but listen at the closing of the show. It's I've Heard That Song Before, played by Kevin Amos and the band. But when Sammy Kahn told me the story of that first meeting with Julie Stein and that response of his to the song title, "What Are You, a Tune Detective?" and then Stein's antipathy to the idea of a song about a song, it started a trail of thought in my mind. Some years ago, I wrote a one-woman show for my sweet gingerbread girl, Jessica Martin, to do at the Edinburgh Festival. And I wrote up my idea for I've Heard That Song Before as the opening number. People seemed to like it. It was the subsequent 1 hour and 57 minutes I had a problem getting on top of. But I've dusted off that old arrangement from time to time over the years. So here I am with my take on Sammy and Julie's first hit. You don't need to be a tune detective, but if you're a lyric detective, you'll have fun. And just for Sammy and his affection for that sound, we'll let Kevin Amos and the band play us in. ¶¶
this is still a kiss. They're writing songs, but not for me. Nah, that's not it. Let me see. Regrets I've had a few. My sweet, embraceable you. So sunny boy, climb upon my knee. No, hang on, that can't be right. A fish gotta swim. And there is nothing like a dame. She'll join in any reindeer game. And you'll go down in history. Oh, that's ridiculous, and I know it so well. If I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. Cause I'm the Sheik of Araby. No, 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 that's not it. Weird. Just can't seem to get it. And yet it seems to me I've heard that song before. It's from an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody. It's funny how a theme recalls a favorite dream. A dream that brought you so close to me. I know each word because I heard that song before. The lyrics said forevermore. Forevermore's a memory. Please have them play it again, and I'll remember just when I heard that lovely song before. I said please when I heard that lovely song before. Come on, please, play it again, and I'll remember just when I heard that oh, forget it. Forget it. I just can't place it.
Steal a kiss and repeat each line over and over and over and over, and then we drifted apart. You walked off with my heart. It's funny how one listen just starts me reminiscing.
Once you've written a song about a song, it kind of becomes a habit. That's Julie Stein and Sammy Cahn with another song about another song. Or maybe it's about the first song they wrote a song about. Julie Stein had reconciled himself to the lyric and to the lyricist. He picked up the phone and said, "Hey, Sammy, I think we ought to write some more songs." And a great songwriting team hit its stride, as Julie Stein himself told me many years ago.
In writing my war songs with Sammy Cahn at that time and with Frank Lesser. Frank Lesser started it, and then I made Sammy Cahn. It was obvious that he would follow through with after I had written with Frank Lesser. We wrote the war songs. Why not? After every war, there were a great amount of war songs. Great hits were written, Over There, and all those songs were written after war song. I'll Walk Alone was a war song.
I'll walk alone, because to tell you the truth, I'll be lonely. I don't mind being lonely when my heart tells me you I'll always be near you, wherever you are, each night, in every prayer, just whisper, I'll hear you, no matter how far, so close your eyes, and I'll be there. Please walk alone, but send your love and your kisses to guide me.
After D-Day, with Allied troops marching toward the heart of Germany, you used to see modifications of that song scrawled across burnt-out German tanks.
And in fact, the soldiers were walking around, I'll walk C-O-L-O-G-N-E.
I'll walk Cologne.
You know, things like that, and Victory Polka.
And when we've lit the torch of liberty in each blacked-out land across the sea, when a man can proudly say I'm free, we'll be dancing the victory polka.
And it's been a long, long time after the war. Before the war, during the war, and after the war, we had a great group of hit songs.
Kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear, since I can't remember when. It's been a long, long time. You'll never know how many dreams I dreamed about you, or just how empty they all seemed without you. So kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time.
That one was born when Sammy Kahn looked at the maps of Europe in the papers one day and said to Julie Stein, you know, it feels to me like this war is coming to an end. Maybe we ought to have a song ready. He had good instincts about pop songs and wars. We tried to stay one step ahead of the generals, Sammy once said to me. But Kahn and Stein's most productive partnership was with a boy singer Sammy had already known for years. When he was a teenager, he met a fellow New Yorker called Axel Staudel, who in 1935 joined the Tommy Dorsey Band as a trumpeter and arranger. Sammy liked to hang out with the Dorsey guys, and pretty soon Axel had introduced him to the band's new singer. One night, after a show, the vocalist turned to Sammy and said, I'm going to be the world's greatest singer. He left the Dorsey Band and brought Axel Staudel along with him as his arranger, and Axel brought Sammy along, and Sammy brought Julie along. This is the first Sammy Kahn song ever put on record by Frank Sinatra.
Some other time I could resist you, yes, some other time. Not now. There is no rhyme. Now that I've kissed you with all that is me, I be and
That's a V-disc, a record for the troops, put out in 1944. Frank Sinatra with Sammy Kahn and Julie Stein's Come Out, Come Out, Wherever You Are, and Some Other Time. Kahn and Stein just poured out songs for Sinatra in the 40s. Sammy was a party animal, and one weekend his sister called and was surprised to find him in. "You're home on a Saturday night?" "I'm in show business," he told her. "Saturday night is for civilians." He stopped, thought about what he'd just said, and then turned the thought around and made it a song.
Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week, 'cause that's the night that my sweetie and I used to dance cheek to cheek. I don't mind Sunday night at all, 'cause that's the night friends come to call. And Monday to Friday go fast, and another week is past. But Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week. I sing the song that I sang for the memories I usually seek, until I hear you at the door, until you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week.
The movies called and brought Sinatra out to the coast for his first starring role in Anchors Away. Frankie Goes to Hollywood, as the headlines read. They asked Frankie who he wanted to write the songs, Jerome Kern, Johnny Mercer. "Gentlemen, you don't understand," he told them. "If Julie Stein and Sammy Kahn don't score the picture, I won't do it." This was the take-home tune.
I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast. I fall in love too terribly hard for love to ever
On the hottest day of the summer, Julie called Sammy and said, "Frank wants a Christmas song." And as Sammy said to me, when you get Frank and wants in that order, you don't have much choice in the matter.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Having written Frank a winter song and a summer's day, on a winter's day they wrote him a summer song.
The boat rides we would take, the moonlight on the lake, the way we danced and hummed our favorite song. The things we did last summer, I'll remember all winter long.
And here's one I always like, number one in 1946.
Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. Here am I begging for only 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more of your charm. All week long I dreamed about our Saturday date. Don't you know that Sunday morning you can sleep late? Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms.
Sammy said to me that composers occasionally wondered if he had a stammer. Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more, let me stay in your arms. Half the lyric is repetitions of 5 minutes more, and 2/3 of what's left is repetitions of let me stay. But he understood, as more sophisticated writers often forget, the importance of reinforcing the idea. Come fly with me, come fly, let's fly away. That's three flies in the first three bars. You can't complain you don't know what mode of transportation the song's taking. I once asked him why it was Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. Why three Let It Snows as opposed to two or four? He replied, three is lyric. Hence the big finish of Three Coins in the Fountain. Make it mine, make it mine, make it mine, triple exclamation point. It's amazing, said Sammy. If you let people know it's time to applaud, they applaud. The peak of the Kahn-Stein-Sinatra partnership was this beautiful, pure, lyrical, flowing ballad, written to capitalize on that long legato phrasing Frank learned from Tommy Dorsey.
Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you. So lucky to be the one you run to see in the evening when the day is through. I only know what I know. The passing years will show. You've kept my love so young, so new. And time after time, you'll hear me say that I'm so lucky to be loving.
I love the way Sinatra holds that final U, long and strong but soft, so that it melts away into the band. Not all Sammy Kahn's Sinatra hits of the 40s were written with Julie Stein. This one was a collaboration with Frank's arranger, Axel Staudel, and Paul Weston.
Day by day, I'm falling more in love. And day by day, my love seems to grow. There isn't any end to my devotion. It's deeper, dear, by far than any ocean.
When you asked him the old question, what comes first, the words or the music, Sammy would famously reply, the phone call. Do you think I'm wandering around all day going, I must write a song called Three Coins in the Fountain, he'd say? Do I look like a nut? He and Julie Stein were assignment writers. But even when the assignment didn't work out, there was Frank to retrieve something from the rubble.
The torch I carry is handsome. It's worth its heartache in ransom. And when the twilight steals, I know how the lady in the harbor feels. When I want rain, I get sunny weather. I'm just as blue as the sky. Since love is gone, can't pull myself together.
guess I'll hang my tears out to dry.
Did you know that Hang My Tears Out Dry is a theater song from the first show I wrote? It was a show closed in a row.
The show, Glad to See You, was a disaster everyone was glad to forget. On the tryout in Philadelphia, the leading man fell ill, and having neglected to hire an understudy, the producers corralled Sammy himself into going on in his stead. But amidst the wreckage, that song survived. And in 1958, Sinatra remade the number with Nelson Riddle arranging, Al Viola's guitar, and so many other musicians that when Viola walked in the room, he thought he was at a union meeting. The harmonies are so eerie and the tempo so rubato and the strings so classically romantic that Riddle wasn't sure he was up to conducting his own chart, so he passed the baton literally to Felix Slatkin. It's one of the greatest pop records ever made.
The torch I carry is handsome. It's worth its heartache in ransom. And when the twilight steals, I know how the lady in the harbor feels. When I want rain, I get sunny weather. I'm just as blue as the sky. Since love is gone, can't pull myself together. Guess I'll hang my tears out to dry. Friends ask me out, I tell them I'm busy. I must get a new alibi. I stay at home and ask myself, who is he? Guess I'll hang my tears out to dry.
Why did Linda Ronstadt go and do Hang My Tears Out to Dry, which was a 40-year-old song? Because during the years it became a standard.
Dry little teardrops, hanging on a string of dreams. My little memories, my little memories, remind him of our crazy scheme. To draw.
When Linda Ronstadt decided she loved that song so much she had to make her own record of it, she arranged to meet with Nelson Riddle. He brought along his original sketch for Sinatra, and after running it down with her at the piano, took out his pencil, crossed out Frank's key, and wrote in Linda's key. I don't think that's the greatest version of Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry ever made, but it started an industry. Ronstadt asked Riddle to arrange that one track. He said, "I don't do tracks, I do albums. The Beatles asked me to arrange The Long and Winding Road, and I turned them down." So Ronstadt said, "Fine, let's do an album." And one album of standards turned into three albums of standards, and the next thing you know, every grizzled old rocker with a midlife crisis is doing a standards album. Robert Palmer, Michael Bolton, Rod Stewart. An entire industry was born out of one ballad from a flop show that closed on the road in 1944 with Sammy Kahn in the leading role. Julie Stein had always wanted to be a theatre composer. Kahn was more ambivalent. Their next show made it to Broadway, an old-fashioned charmer called High Button Shoes. Years ago, for a BBC television show, I got Julie Stein and Donald Sadler, now a distinguished choreographer, but back then playing Uncle Willie in the Broadway cast, I got them to recreate the big song from the score. Julie was in his late 80s by then and having great difficulty remembering his own composition. We did take after take after take, all of which he blew. But he wanted to get it right for Sammy's sake, as he put it. Sammy had died a few months earlier. As you'll hear, he nearly gets it, but fluffs the lyric right at the end, and then, exhausted, says, "Don't worry about that, leave it in, it'll get a laugh." Almost half a century on, Sammy Kahn's big song from High Button Shoes, performed by the guy who wrote the tune, Julie Stein, and a member of that original Broadway cast, Donald Sadler.
You know, in High Button Shoes, Mom and Papa had a song in the second act. Well, it's best to show you. Papa and Mom are in one, and they have a little scene about he's been a little jealous of her attentions from a salesman there, and he says, "Time has treated our love kindly, for I still adore you blindly. There can never be another one for me. I still get jealous when they look at you. You may not know it, but I do. It's more than I can bear when they start to stare. Guess they think you're too good to be true.
I still get jealous when we kiss goodnight, unless you hold me extra tight. And dear, I know a secret you didn't think I knew. I still get jealous, well, 'cause it pleases you." That's all right. That mistake will work. You get a laugh.
Then Papa would point his toe, Mama would point her toe. They look at each other and...
From the Stein Archive, that's Julie Stein and Donald Sadler on TV with me in the 90s. High Button Shoes was a hit, but Sammy Kahn would not find Broadway as congenial as Hollywood. Tempted Sammy Kahn to Broadway for High Button Shoes, but he preferred the easy life in Hollywood, writing those Academy Awards.
Yeah, right. Writing, because he didn't get the good notices, so to speak, that they were derogatory to his talents. Well, that doesn't mean anything, because the critics in the theater will hate you 1 year, but discover you the next year. But that's the fascinating thing about writing the theater. Mm-hmm. You have to learn accept no good. In the movies, you just write that song and everybody's happy. Never mind later on. People go and see it once. That's it. In the theater, you can go see that same play for 3 years it runs, and that song has longevity. That's why all the great, great standards, most of the great, great standards, come from the theater. Well, Hollywood is a factory. It was a factory of theme songs for movies. Songwriters for many years lived off winning the Academy Award because they wrote a title song. I won one of those, Three Coins in the Fountain.
Three coins in the fountain, each one seeking happiness, thrown by three hopeful lovers, which one will the fountain bless?
But that doesn't mean anything. Writing songs, just pop songs. You know, they just write...
Three Coins in the Fountain, apparently, was written in an afternoon. Is that so?
10 minutes, yeah.
And if there were still those kind of films today, you could still write 10-minute theme songs.
Sure,
But I still... I think probably your most successful... I may be wrong, but I should imagine that some of your biggest-selling songs are the ones that were written for...
No.
Is that so?
You're right. They get played the most.
Yes.
They were played the most, but the songs that made most money for me are the theaters.
Really?
Oh, sure.
So something like Three Coins in the Fountain isn't...
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. See, when it died out with that era, it died out. It had a good run for about 15, 20 years. I wrote it in 1953. Up until about 70, it was powerfully. Now, occasionally, when it has a need, where they need to play things, they don't play those things anymore.
Three hearts in the fountain, each heart longing for its home. There they lie in the fountain, somewhere in the heart of Rome.
Do you think a composer or two people who write a song, writing together,
they outgrow
one
each other.
Reaches a stage where, yes, yeah,
they outgrow each other. They, and it's a healthy thing. You know, I left, that's how I left with, broke up with Sammy Kahn. I didn't speak to Sinatra for 3 years, or he didn't speak to me for 3 years.
So Kahn and Stein went their separate ways. Stein to the East, where he became the most successful Broadway composer of the post-war era. Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, Bells Are Ringing, Gypsy, Funny Girl. Sammy Kahn stayed out west and found himself once more a lyricist with no tunes. He wrote a song here and a song there with this or that composer. With a Hungarian fellow called Nicholas Brodsky, he wrote this big movie song for Mario Lanza.
Be my love, for no one else can end this yearning, this need that you and you alone create. Just fill my arms the way you filled my dreams, the dreams that you inspire with every sweet desire.
I always like to hear Sammy with his small, thin voice talk about teaching that song to Mario Lanza. Look how savvy he is. He knows he's got an operatic singer and a big, florid tune, so he writes the words all in big vowel sounds. The dreams that you inspire with every sweet desire. None of those snappy consonants he wrote for Sinatra. Snap, whap in the tender trap. Because he knows your big tenors like Lanza swallow the consonants. By contrast, here's a song he wrote at the behest of his manager Ed Traubner one day in 1952. Because the composer, Gene DePaul, the Seven Brides for Seven Brothers guy, was apparently feeling a little depressed. And Traubner thought it might help if Sammy were to write a song with him. Great, said Sammy, so then he'll have something new to be depressed about. They were even more depressed when they discovered who'd made the first record of it. A sister act they'd never heard of, but whose bass player had apparently passed the song on to them. These gals have nothing in common with Mario Lanza, except that if you know the TV show The Sopranos, you'll be aware that on one episode, Tony Soprano's mom reveals that the only music acts she enjoys are Mario Lanza and the DeCastro sisters. Sammy would have enjoyed that joke.
Did you say I've got a lot to learn? Well, don't think I'm trying not to learn, since this is the perfect spot to learn. Teach me tonight.
That record got to number two in 1954 and sold 5 million copies. And after that, said Sammy Kahn, Gene DePaul was no longer depressed. But a funny thing happened to Teach Me Tonight. Among the instant covers of the DeCastro sisters was this version by Dinah Washington.
Let's start with the ABC of it. Roll right down to the XYZ of it. Help me solve the mystery of it. Teach me tonight. The sky's a blackboard high above you. If a shooting star goes by, I'll use that star to write I love you. A thousand times across the sky, one thing isn't very clear, my love. Should the teacher stand so near, my love? Graduation's almost here, my love. Come on and teach me tonight.
That made the Rhythm and Blues chart at the end of 1954 and became one of Dinah Washington's most enduring records, to the point where a whole bunch of later singers covered not so much the song, but Dinah's version of it. I once said to Sammy that I had an idea for an album called The Rhythm and Blues Side of Sammy Kahn, which would consist entirely of versions of Teach Me Tonight by Etta James.
Did you say I've got a lot to learn?
Frida Payne.
Well, don't think I'm trying not to learn.
Stevie Wonder.
Since this is a perfect spot to learn.
Four Tops, Levi Stubbs.
Starting with the ABC of it. Right down to the XYZ of it.
Mary Wells.
Help me solve the mystery of it. Teach me tonight.
Marvin Gaye.
The sky's a blackboard. Above you, if a shooting star goes by,
Phoebe Snow,
we'll take that star and write I love you
a thousand times across the sky.
Al Jarreau,
one thing isn't very clear. Stand so near, my love. Graduation almost here, my love. So would you,
Chaka Khan? Jeffrey Osborne.
Hold me close, don't let me go. Teach me, come on and teach me. Come on and teach me. Ooh, 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 yeah. All right.
Well, we're a long way from the DeCastro sisters. Sammy liked the idea of the rhythm and blues side of Sammy Carr, and if I were proposing it now, I'd throw in this version of Teach Me Tonight by Amy Winehouse. Teach Me Tonight was a big hit for Sammy Cahn, but he still needed a regular writing partner. More to the point, Frank Sinatra needed a regular writing team. Here's how Julie Stein explained his split with Sammy.
I went to Frank. I said, Frank, you know, I don't want to build my whole career around you. I find that now I'm writing just nothing but Sinatra songs. And if I write for Doris Day, it shouldn't be a Sinatra song. You know, so I'll be good for you, and you should sing everybody's tune. I've had 6 wonderful years with you. You are singing the standard, but the new, see, you know, that's how Van Heusen got. I left, and Van Heusen, Sammy Cahn stayed on. Sammy Cahn stayed in that Hollywood way, writing those clicky-clacky theme songs. I'm telling you, so-and-so. And he didn't expand himself. He didn't broaden out.
The Van Heusen Julie Stein is referring to there is a guy called Jimmy Van Heusen, composer of Swingin' on a Star, Here's That Rainy Day, Moonlight Becomes You. It was Sinatra who brought together Cahn and Van Heusen. The conversation I'm about to play is a telephone call, an international call, full of pops and wheezes and beeps from various other people trying to get through to Sammy that day. But I thought it was worth putting up with some diminished technical qualities to hear what he had to say. I can date it very precisely. It was February the 6th, 1990, the day Jimmy Van Heusen died. I was writing something about him, and I just wanted to check my faulty memory with the source. Sammy answered my question and then stayed on the line, eager to talk on a very sad day about his most productive writing partnership. So here he is on that crackly phone line from nearly a quarter century ago, talking about how he and Van Heusen came together.
I was on my lowers at the point when he was the prince's writing for Crosby. Sinatra hadn't landed yet, and I used to be around when I heard Moonlight Becomes You before most people did. I heard, But Beautiful. I heard lots of the songs before most people did. So I was hanging around just being, a sycophant. And, you know, when the time came, when they started to falter a little bit, that's when I started to rise. And then one day the phone rang, was Sinatra saying, I'd like you to do a song with Van Heusen. And I said, no. I said, no, he's a team with Burke. And he and Burke were joined at the hip. You know, you couldn't part them.
Yes.
And I said, no, I could never be in that arrangement, you know?
Yes.
He said, no, I'm telling you. So I said, no, I will never call Jimmy Van Heusen. I wouldn't have it on my... So let me get rid of this call. So... I said, no. He said, well, I'll have Van Heusen call you. So Van Heusen called me, and I said, fine. And the first assignment we had was the Tender Trap. You know, like I say, when I heard the word trap, I heard the word snap, and the song was practically written in my mind. But came the first writing session to Van Heusen's. We wrote usually at night with Van Heusen. I went to the typewriter and I typed out the lyric for the Tender Trap. And he went to the piano and he played me a really, really, I thought, ordinary tune. But I wasn't going to be, critical at a first session, you know. And I continued to write, and suddenly the doorbell rang, and who came in? Johnny Burke. And that's like being caught with somebody's wife, you know?
Yeah.
The intruder. We exchanged some pleasantries, and finally I excused myself. I couldn't wait to get out of there because I was embarrassed by him being there.
Yes.
And I was also embarrassed by the melody. And the next day, Van Heusen, who had time to think about, see, I made him write faster than he was accustomed to. He
yes.
and Johnny Burke would take weeks and weeks to write songs. And
yes.
so he says the next day, he says, that tune wasn't very good. And I said, well, I don't know. And finally, it became the song you now know.
You see a pair of laughing eyes, and suddenly you're sighing sighs. You're thinking nothing's wrong, you string along, boy, then snap. Those eyes, those sighs, they're part of the tender trap. You're hand in hand beneath the trees, and soon there's music in the breeze. You're acting kinda smart until your heart just goes whap. Those trees, that breeze, they're part of the tender trap. Some starry night, when her kisses make you tingle, she'll hold you tight, and you'll hate yourself for being single. And all at once it seems so nice, the folks are throwing shoes and rice. You hurry to a spot that's just a dot on the map. You're hooked, you're cooked, you're caught in the tender trap.
Sammy was a lethal song demonstrator and not shy about teaching his songs to Sinatra or anybody else. At the recording session, Frank did the song and ended up, it's too late now, there's no getting out, you fell in love and love is the tender trap. And Sammy said, no, 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 you can't finish like that, you have to take it up. And as was his wont, he showed him what he meant.
I wonder how it all came about. It's too late now, there's no getting out. You fell in love and love is the tender trap.
Sinatra thought about it and did it Sammy's way, even though it was at the very edge of his range. This high F is the highest note Sinatra sang during his entire time with Capitol Records.
And then you wonder how it all came about. It's too late now, there's no getting out. You fell in love, and love is the tender trap.
Let's end part one on a high note. The first big Sinatra hit by the new team of Sammy Kahn and Jimmy Van Heusen. Lots more great Kahn and Van Heusen hits for Sinatra straight ahead. Come Fly With Me, Come Dance With Me, Come Blow Your Horn, All The Way, High Hopes, Second Time Around, Call Me Irresponsible, and lots more, all straight ahead in part two of our centenary salute to Sammy Kahn.